Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This is a place where we take just a huge stack of documents, research, technical notes, all of it, and we distill it down. And today we're focusing on the really rapidly accelerating world of modular real estate. We're boiling it down to the essential must-know takeaways just for you.
And today's deep dive is incredibly targeted. We're not doing some broad overview of factory construction or anything like that. The sources we were given, they gave us a really explicit structure. They are zeroing in on what the industry seems to think is the single most difficult hurdle in adopting modular approaches.
That's exactly right. Our mission here is to pull out the key insights from documents that are really, they're an explicit roadmap for organizational change. This isn't about material science or, you know, robotics in the factory. It's about process.
And the entire focus, I mean, you can sum it up with this core phrase that just keeps popping up all over the material. Conversion strategies for adopting modular real estate approaches.
Okay, let's unpack that. Let's do it right away. Because that phrasing is, it's just immensely powerful. The industry isn't just offering like best practices or a few tips. They're defining a need for conversion strategies.
Right.
That one word, conversion, that tells us everything. It says the system, the way things are done now, is fundamentally resistant to this change.
It frames the entire conversation, doesn't it? I mean, if it were just a simple technical upgrade, you'd call it an implementation guide or something. But because they call it a conversion strategy, it implies that the existing systems, we're talking operational, financial, regulatory, they're just not compatible with this new way of building. Mm-hmm. And you need a formal plan migration just to overcome that friction.
Now, the key insight here, and this is before we even get into the actual strategies themselves, is that the industry consensus is that the real bottleneck for modular isn't the technology, it's systemic adoption.
The tech is there, the capability to build modules, it exists. The system just needs to catch up. And for you listening, this means the most critical area to focus on right now. It's not optimizing the factory floor. It's about optimizing the office floor. It's about the internal processes, the external partnerships. We really need to drill down on what this systemic conversion actually, you know, looks like in practice.
Okay, let's break that down then. Let's look at the three big areas where this conflict between legacy real estate and modular manufacturing is sharpest. If we need a formal conversion strategy, what's the most painful adjustment a developer has to make? I'd guess it starts with the money.
Oh, it absolutely starts with capital deployment. Look, if you're developing traditional, you know, stick-built housing, your financial model relies on staged construction loans. The bank releases capital and draws, and those are tied to very physical on-site milestones.
Right. Foundation's done, you get some money. Framing's up, you get the next draw.
Exactly. It's a crucial risk mitigation tool for them. It ensures capital isn't just thrown away if the project stalls halfway through.
So the money only flows when the risk is measurably reduced, yeah, right there on the site.
Modular construction just flips that model completely on its head. You need a significant chunk of the capital, often 50, sometimes even 100% upfront. You need it to fund the factory production before that unit even leaves the building. You're basically paying for a finished product long before it even touches the foundation.
But wait, doesn't the speed of modularity, you know, getting units built in 90 days instead of 18 months, doesn't that offset some of that upfront capital risk?
It does eventually, but the conversion strategy has to bridge that liquidity gap in the meantime. Banks are just not set up for this. They're set up for asset-based lending that's tied to site value and physical security. A completed, very expensive module sitting in a factory 500 miles away. To them, that looks like inventory. Under traditional financing laws, it's not collateral.
Ah, okay. So the strategies aren't just about where the developer finds the money. It's about converting the entire risk model that the lender uses. They need to somehow transition from construction loans to what, essentially project financing backed by manufacturing contracts?
Exactly right. And this requires totally new financial instruments, new legal structures. A good conversion strategy might detail how to use, say, pooled projects or standardized designs, firm upfront contracts, anything to create a capital stream that looks more like an industrial purchase order and less like traditional construction financing. If you're an investor, you need a strategy to convert capital that's designed for low-velocity real estate into capital that can actually support high-velocity manufacturing.
That is a massive operational shift. It moves the developer from being this like local site-focused entity to someone who's reliant on an integrated supply chain. So let's shift to that second crucial area.
Right.
The operational conversion itself. What changes when your job shifts from site manager to supply chain manager?
That's where the organizational conversion really hits home. Traditional development is, it's bespoke, it's relational. You hire your subcontractors, the framer, the electrician, the plumber, and they all operate independently on the site, often reacting to problems as they pop up.
And the developer's job is basically conflict resolution. And, you know, trying to coordinate the schedules between dozens of separate companies.
With modular, you convert that sort of chaotic coordination into a precise logistics and manufacturing management role. The developer is now managing maybe a couple of massive contracts, one for the factory, one for logistics and installation. The expertise you need, it changes fundamentally. You need people who understand delivery sequencing, standardized design, offsite quality control, just-in-time delivery. It's a different world.
I can really see the resistance here. I mean, if I'm a seasoned developer, I spent 30 years mastering the local labor market, I know all the reliable local guys. How does a conversion strategy help me just discard those relationships and trust a single factory that could be hundreds of miles away?
Well, the conversion strategy has to provide the blueprint for de-risking that trust. It needs to lay out standardized contracts, quality assurance protocols, like having third-party inspectors in the factory, which replaces your guy walking the site every day. It's the manual for moving from a relationship-driven model to a process-driven one.
And this need for standardization, that must create a huge tension with what the market wants, right?
Right.
Which is customization. Modular housing has this perception of being, you know, cookie cutter.
It does. And a good operational conversion strategy has to address what you could call the standardization tightrope. To get the benefits of the factory, you need standard parts, repeatable processes. But to sell in different markets, you need unique aesthetics. So the strategy has to define the boundaries. What parts are standardized, like the core structure, the plumbing stacks, and what parts are customizable, like the exterior cladding, the finishes, layout options. It's about converting the design process from pure architecture to really product engineering.
That's a great way to put it. You're not building a custom house anymore. You're ordering from a configurable product line.
And that transition requires a systemic overhaul of a firm's internal capabilities. You might need to hire industrial engineers or supply chain experts. You have to convert the job descriptions of your project managers from construction supervisors to logistical planners. That's the core organizational change.
Let's move to the third big hurdle, which I suspect is probably the biggest drag on adoption. Regulatory conversion. We're talking about converting decades of local, site-specific zoning, permitting, and inspection practices to accept a product that was built in a factory.
This is where the strategies can hit a real wall. In the U.S., for instance, construction is overwhelmingly governed at the county or even the municipal level. Local inspectors are trained to ensure safety based on what they can see, stick by stick being built on the site, modular just. It fundamentally challenges that because the core structure is sealed up and finished miles away.
So if a unit is built in a factory in Texas and is shipped to California, the local inspector in LA might just look at it and say, I have no idea what's behind this wall. I can't sign off on it.
Precisely. A successful regulatory conversion strategy has to focus on getting approval at a higher level, often the state or even national level, through third-party certification bodies. It's about converting that local personal trust into a broader institutional credibility.
So the strategy isn't about getting one specific unit approved. It's about getting the entire system of how you build approved. It's a systemic approach.
Exactly. It might involve getting the whole factory certified under a state's industrial housing code. And then the state authorizes a third-party agency to oversee the factory floor process. This essentially bypasses the thousands of individual site inspectors who, you know, they're just not trained for these industrialized methods.
And that sounds like a proactive, political, and frankly, a lobbying effort. It's not just a technical documentation exercise. You're trying to convert the regulatory landscape itself.
It absolutely demands an advocacy component. The strategy has to budget time and resources for this, because without it, all the speed and cost benefits of modular just evaporate while you're waiting for site-specific approvals. And then, you know, think about risks and insurance. Carriers are used to insuring site-based risks, fire, theft, worker injury on a specific plot of land.
Right. And modular brings in completely new risks. Logistics risk, damage during transport, manufacturing defects that you don't discover until later.
A comprehensive conversion strategy has to detail how the developer transitions their insurance liability to cover all these factory and transit risks. This means converting traditional general liability policies into something that covers offsite manufacturing, cargo insurance, and installation.
This is truly a full organizational migration. It's really clear that without a deliberate, structured, multifaceted strategy, a conversion strategy, Any attempt to move into modular is just going to slam into these three walls, the financial wall, the operational wall, and the regulatory wall.
And that's the powerful takeaway we get just from the structure of these sources. They are not selling you a product. They are selling you a total business overhaul. It requires a developer to convert their entire business model from being a site-based coordinator to essentially a manufacturing logistics provider.
So the sources really confirm that the hardest work in modular real estate isn't in the factory. It's in the operational friction and the planning needed to manage that friction. If you're a developer or an investor or even a policymaker looking at this space, the value isn't just in understanding the components of the module, but in understanding the documentation you need to run a converted company.
And this conversion isn't a one-and-done thing. These strategies also have to address how you scale. A strategy that works for building 10 units is completely different from one designed to integrate, say, 500 units into a city's housing pipeline. Scaling demands standardization. It demands a conversion of the design process itself to platform-based engineering, which is something totally foreign to traditional real estate.
Which brings us right back around to the financial element. To scale, you need multiple projects feeding that factory pipeline. And that demands really sophisticated financial strategies to guarantee the factory throughput. It's a conversion from project finance to infrastructure finance.
Absolutely. The conversion strategy becomes the blueprint for industrializing what has always been a bespoke craft. It identifies that tightrope between standardization for efficiency and customization for the market. And most importantly, it addresses how capital and regulation have to adapt to that new reality.
So to summarize the core finding from this deep dive, the framework provided in these sources by focusing so heavily on conversion strategies, it clearly tells us that the strategic organizational transition that is the single most critical and most challenging hurdle in adopting modular real estate. The system is the problem, not the steel.
It's the friction. The friction between the old way of doing business and the new. This documentation exists precisely because that friction is so substantial. It requires a formal intervention across finance, operations, and regulation.
Which raises one final, I think, provocative thought for you, the listener, to mull over. If successful modular adoption requires these dedicated conversion strategies, and those strategies demand standardized product lines and huge amounts of upfront capital, what happens to the concept of local scarcity, you know, the core driver of traditional real estate value, when housing becomes an industrialized, scalable product?
I think the answer to that question is going to define the success of all these conversion strategies over the next decade.
Poop for thought indeed. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the strategic transition points of modular real estate. We hope this analysis helps frame your own approach to this rapidly evolving sector.
We'll catch you next time.